Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the gospel. Please be seated. Well, brothers and sisters, this is a staggering sermon from the Lord Jesus today. I mean, it buckles you at the knees, and most likely your jaws hit the floor. And rightly so, because when Jesus, like he did with Israel of old, claims you as his own, when Jesus is God for you by Good Friday, dying for you on the cross and shedding his divine blood to atone forever for your sin, when he gives you his divine and saving name in baptism, well, nothing is ever the same again in your life. Yes, Jesus alone is the Savior, no one else is. Yes, he's God for you. No one can be God for you, not even your relatives or even yourself. That's idolatry, and it is to be abhorred. Or as Jesus puts it, when relatives play like pretend divinities and saviors, or when you think you're your own God and Savior, that is to be hated. Yes, Jesus said it. He used the H word. Aren't you panicking? Of course you are. Well, let's not misunderstand. Mom and Dad are to be honored as God's instruments to give you life, preserve your life, and to bring you to Jesus for salvation. They're God's creatures for these purposes, but they are not divinities to be worshipped. And neither are you to worship yourself. And so today's sermon from Jesus staggers you. If anyone comes to me, he says, and does not hate his own father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus isn't done preaching. More staggering in the sermon. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, let me put it to you bluntly. Crosses are not pretty. They're ugly. What do crosses do to people? They kill. They are brutal and torturous instruments of intense suffering and horrible death. It happened to Jesus, remember? And so when Jesus tells you to take up your cross, he's telling you to take up your what? Your death. Yes, that's right. Death. Death to your sin and all your sinful desires, habits, and deeds, so that the new man, spelled F-A-I-T-H, can arise and live before God in Christ's righteousness and purity and holiness, Christ's forgiveness. But there's more to this bearing the cross. More. And here's how I'm going to put it to you today. I fear that the time in which we can freely worship Jesus and be citizens as Christians in this country and to be disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is quickly coming to an end in this country. Bearing the cross isn't just having a hangnail, having a dead battery in your boat, or not being able to party on the weekend. Bearing the cross is about death. There are many powerful people in this country, besides the devil, of course, that hate you. And they want to eliminate you from the face of the earth. Why? Because you worship Jesus and you confess him Lord of all. You have become a threat to these people. You have become an enemy of the state because the state falls under the temptation of all states and politics. It acts like God and brokers no rivals, especially Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I fear that we will learn in spades what Jesus means in his sermon that staggers when he categorically tells you that in order to be his disciple, it will mean that you will bear a cross. Death. In John 15, Jesus warned us all that as the world hated him, they will hate you. He also says, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Old Testament saints and the early church learned quickly what Jesus meant about bearing the cross. Early Christians, and it still goes on to this day, all over the world, in China and Russia, Indonesia, Africa, and the Middle East, early Christians and now Christians today are being persecuted and murdered for confessing Jesus to be the Lord. Here are a few examples, just for your reminder. For not committing adultery, and for not denying the promised Jesus, Joseph was falsely accused of sexual assault and he was imprisoned. Isaiah, what happened to him? He was sawn in two at church. Moses gave up all the riches of Egypt. He was criticized and mocked and ridiculed and he was hunted down for the sake of Jesus. Jeremiah thrown into a pit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel put into the lion's den. For confessing Jesus and being his disciples, the apostles were arrested, beaten, jailed, and all except John were murdered. Peter hung upside down. Paul made shorter by a head. Stephen, one of the first deacons in Jerusalem, was stoned to death. The old man Polycarp, if you've never heard of him, look him up, Google him. Polycarp, the disciple of the blessed Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna, was burned to death at the stake. Today in China, church buildings are bulldozed. In Africa, thousands upon thousands of Christians are taken into slavery as sex slaves or murdered. In France, Roman Catholic priests are now being murdered while saying Mass. Imagine that. In Europe, especially in Great Britain, you must pay attention to this, especially in Great Britain, if a Christian criticizes Islam in any way, he is immediately arrested and jailed. Now, I could go on and on with these examples. But the point is this, you simply cannot be a disciple of Jesus without the cross. Jesus' way is the way of death and resurrection. So if you want to follow Jesus in the way he's going, then I'm here to tell you, you had better be prepared to carry the cross too and go the way of death and trusting in God to raise you from the dead in glorious resurrection. And as Jesus says in the text, so now I tell you, count the cost. Do the accounting. Run the spreadsheet. You do this all the time in your life. You set out to build something, and what do? You get bids. You count the cost to make sure that you've got enough money to pay for the job. Otherwise, you'll pour a foundation, run out of funds, and your slab of concrete will stand as a monument to what? To your short-sighted stupidity. You've all seen it. The ambitious building projects that never get done. The house that stands for years, partially completed. When a king goes to battle, what does he do? He counts the cost of the war. Can he afford it? Can his 10,000 troops match his enemy's 20,000? And if he can't, then he sends the peace delegation to negotiate terms. Yeah, many of our decisions are economic more than anything else. Can we afford it? Will it break the bank? Is there enough money? We make important choices in our lives by counting the cost. And we're short-sighted fools if we don't. Now, here's what I want you to do, just as Jesus does in the text. I want you now to count the cost of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will it cost you to follow him? Huh? What will it be? Your life. Not just your money, or your fame, or reputation, or whatever. It will cost you your life. Everything. All that you have. To follow Jesus on his road to Jerusalem to die and rise is literally going to cost you everything that you hold dear. Can you afford it? Are you willing to pay the price? You say that you want to follow Jesus and be his disciple. Well, are you willing to pay the cost of discipleship? You know, when I ask people to join Trinity, I'm making a general statement here. When I ask people to join Trinity and be a disciple of Jesus, you know what happens? They begin to worry and panic about how much it's going to cost them. You know what I hear? Oh, Pastor, I'm not going to have to give 10% or anything like that, am I, huh? You're not going to want me to volunteer on any committees here, are you, huh? And seriously, you're not going to expect me to come to church and sit here for 60 plus minutes. Good God, no way. Are you really? Now, following Jesus is going to cost you a lot more than 10% of your income or an hour out of your Sunday brunch time. It's going to cost you everything, your whole life. And as I hinted at earlier, it may cost you your life, literally. Some of you sitting here today may be martyred like the apostles and the millions of Christians that have gone on before you for confessing Jesus Christ. And unless, as Jesus says, you literally hate anything that competes and gets in the way, whether it's a parent, a child, a worker, or work, friend, food, drink, soccer, baseball, football, you name it. If you try to bring anything along but your cross, you are not worthy to follow Jesus. You know, folks, truth be told, if you ran the cost of what it costs you to follow Jesus, you wouldn't do it. If that great crowd that was following Jesus around like a rock star took stock as to where he was going and what he was about to do, they would have turned on their heels and run for the hills. Yes, if you counted the cost, you would never have done what? You would have never come to baptism. You'd have never put your trust in Jesus. You would have never decided to follow him. Not one of you would have. And that, my brothers and sisters, is why God doesn't make salvation a choice. No one would choose the way of salvation. Why not? Because it costs too much. If salvation were left for you to decide, if following Jesus were a choice you were given to make, none of you would do it. No one takes up the cross willingly. No one willingly sets his face to Jerusalem as Jesus did. Let me give you an example. You see death, and what do? You run the other way as fast as you can. The doctor or the surgeon, when he tells you you've got 6 months to live, and you panic and you run to any quack cure that promises hope. And if you counted the cost of discipleship, you'd take a U-turn on the road to Jerusalem as fast as you can. And that's why God doesn't make salvation a choice that you make. It may sound like that in the Old Testament reading that we heard today. You're probably saying, yeah, but wait a minute, Pastor, what? God said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Sounds like a choice, doesn't it? Choose between life and death. But listen carefully. Seriously, listen very carefully. There is no neutral position between death and life, evil and good. Did you just hear what I said? There's no neutral position between these things. It's either one or the other. If you're dead, you're in no position to choose what? Life. And if you're alive, what's the only choice you have? Death. But you have no choice where you start. Israel belonged to the Lord. He was their God. They were his people. They did not choose him. He chose them. And being his chosen people, the only choice they had was not to be his chosen people. Just as Adam and Eve could not choose life, life was given to them by the Lord. The only choice that they could make was what? Death. And that's what they chose. Or in the book of Joshua, when Joshua says to the people, choose this day whom you will serve. The only choice they had was which idol they would serve if they don't serve God who had chosen them already. This is why Jesus in the New Testament and his apostles call coming to faith a what? John 3, Titus 3. Remember, what is it? A rebirth, a renewal, being reborn from above, becoming a new creation. And so baptism then is a washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. John 3, Titus 3. Did anybody ask you if you wanted to be born? Huh? Of course not. And by the way, would anyone want to be born if they counted the cost of leaving the safety of their mother's womb? Not a chance. The baby comes out kicking and screaming. And this is why Jesus has to go the way of the cross alone. There's not an old Adam or Eve alive who would be willing to take up the cross and follow. Even Simon of Cyrene had to be forced to carry Christ's cross. I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't either, because the cost is too great. So Jesus bears the cost. Are you listening? Jesus bears the cost of discipleship. That's the good news that's hidden in today's reading. It's our Lord who bears the cross, the cost. He lays down his life to save the world. He becomes the world's sin. He dies your death. And he did not count equality with God something to be held like a treasure, but rather emptied his grasp of all of that to go and bear his death on the cross for you. Yes, Jesus counted the cost of being the world's Savior. It's Jesus who counted the cost of rescuing you from your sin and death. And it was worth every drop of his holy, precious blood to save you. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who counted the cost and gave up everything that was his honor, his glory, his dominion, his power, his entire life, for the joy of your salvation. Yes, Jesus set his face to Jerusalem to die. He took up his cross to save you from eternal damnation. He didn't ask you to choose him. He chose you. He baptized you. He called you by his Spirit. He put you on the path of life before you even so much started to twitch in your mother's womb. You were spiritually dead, and God made you alive in Christ. You were spiritually stillborn, and God rebirthed you by water and the Spirit. You were captive to sin and death, and God in Christ has set you free. Before you believed, before you were born, before you ever were, Christ is your Savior and Lord and Redeemer. I repeat, you didn't choose him. He chose you. And some of you might be saying, well, Pastor, I came to faith as an adult. Okay, even if you came to faith as an adult and sought out baptism, you still didn't choose him. He chose you, and he laid his cross on you. Not to kill you. I said his cross he laid on you to give you life. So brothers and sisters, count the cost of discipleship and thank Jesus for paying it for you when he set his face to Jerusalem. That too is joyfully staggering, salvationally staggering, that he would do that for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.